Okay, so business going on this week. We're meeting with all you guys. Last I saw, there's still one team that has not signed up for a time slot yet. Did you get the last one? I haven't seen the last one. Okay, I've emailed that team a few times. If you're on that team, sign up for a time slot. Okay. We will likely get to teams. There's a time slot during lecture today. There's a possibility we're going to get to more than one team today and same on Thursday. Okay, so if you're later in the week or evenings, we might be able to take care of you in class. Okay. This part of this project is graded, right? You will get reports back. You know, we mark them up as we'll sit down when we're talking with you and mark them up. You'll get them back after we see the last team. So we think that's the fairest way to do it, so no one has kind of a head start on seeing our changes at least. Of course, you're welcome to take notes, and I probably suggest you probably should. When we're talking to you, you can start working on revisions then, but at least you won't get our changes back. Everyone gets them at the same time. Okay, that sound fair? We will put a grade on it. Take note that grade is not equivalent to what that report would earn 2 weeks from now, almost, when the final version is due. Okay, that's kind of a separate grade for this initial submission. Okay, so if you get a 9.5 or whatever on this submission, right, you submit the same thing next Friday, it's not going to be the same, very likely. Okay, follow that? Okay. If you take and only make the changes we're able to talk with you through in the 30 minutes, and you make exactly those changes and no more, that's not a guarantee that what you submit next Friday is going to be a perfect paper. Okay, we're trying to talk you through the high-level stuff, right? Get through what we can get through with you in 30 minutes. Okay. So while we're suggesting changes, a lot of those changes we're going to suggest to you are going to be kind of families of changes that you have to make in terms of the report. Okay, it's not make these and only these, and you're going to have a perfect report. Is that part clear as well? We'll make sure that we set that kind of expectation, right? That we're going to hit the high points and think major things you need to change. Make those changes. Your report will be better if you make those changes, but don't limit yourself to just what we suggest. Make the entire report better. Okay. Ultimately, when we grade these things, we're grading them as a report. How well can we understand the information you're trying to convey? That's the ultimate measure of any of these. Okay. Questions about any of that stuff? So we have a short-ish lecture topic today. We have Thursday scheduled to be a mini Project 2 workshop. So you'll have time, and we'll see a good number of teams by then to work on your projects. Probably once we get through lecture today, we'll have some free time. We'll have team scheduled and maybe see another one, extra team then. And on Thursday, we'll have the bulk of the time for you guys to work with your team, ask us. You know, we'll meet with teams at that time as well and can answer questions you might have. Okay, so that's kind of clear what the schedule is for this week at least. Okay. The other main point of business, we were asked to move the date of the final competition. So we'll talk in much more detail about that in about 10 days. But just to kind of give you a heads up, it's moved to the Thursday of the same week. So you got two more days. So it's April 25th now instead of the 23rd. And that was updated on the class schedule as well. But again, we'll talk in significantly more detail about that in about 10 days. I think it's 10 days. 10 days, right? Something like that. 2 weeks, 10 days. 2 weeks. It's coming up soon, the announcement. Okay, questions? Okay, so today we're going to talk about what we consider kind of management and planning tools. So a big part of any design project, really any engineering endeavor of any significant size, is working with the team and trying to manage and plan that project. Okay, so we'll talk about some tools and we'll talk through them at a fairly high level. Right. Each of these tools also has significantly more detail that you can go into and start utilizing as your project complexity grows. And we'll talk about that information as well, where that might change. The ones you see, and they are included in your book, are largely these six: your affinity diagram, in relationship diagraph, the tree diagram, the Gantt chart, prioritization matrices, and a matrix diagram, of which there are many, actually, matrix diagrams. The affinity diagram is the first we'll talk about. Its main purpose is to kind of facilitate the creative process in generating and organizing ideas. Okay, so the affinity diagram is largely stereotypical brainstorming with an extra organizational step tacked onto it. Right, so it's not just come up with ideas, come up with thoughts. It's actually look for organization and structure among those thoughts and group ideas and solutions together. Okay, so really follows basically what you're talking about, and we've got those headings, those groupings we're gonna use are called affinity headings, and that's where the name of the tool comes from. Okay, so this is an example. I think this is the example in your book. To reduce data entry complexity. I have a company and I have running data. It's still data that needs to be entered, possibly by hand. Okay, so that's my objective in this case. And we're using that objective intentionally to show that this tool applies not just to necessarily true engineering design projects, but you could use these tools elsewhere. Okay. So if I think about all the ways, so that's our objective, and you bring your team together and say, hey team, how can we reduce? This is really a bottleneck in our process. How can we make this better? And then it's basic brainstorming, kind of like we've done in what are the customers for your project? What are the customer requirements? So this is one place you could use that. Right? So start brainstorming ideas. I could prevent errors in entry, blah, blah, blah. And you end up with bunches of ideas. Okay. One way you'll often see this done is each of these ideas from your team as you're brainstorming. You might have a blackboard or a whiteboard gets a sticky note. Every idea has a sticky note. In this case, we have kind of virtual sticky notes, post-it notes. Okay. Then you look at these ideas, and again, there probably should be many, many more than we're able to show on a slide. How could they be grouped? Are we seeing any themes among all the ideas we're looking at to solve this particular problem? Okay. So in this case, we might group things according to some headings, and then place everything in its own heading. Okay. So we decided for this particular task, we can improve training, improve hardware, make the software more friendly, and improve the actual paperwork part of entering the data. And those headings came out of just brainstorming the flood of ideas. Okay, now we have all these ideas of things we thought about. How are they grouped? What do they suggest the main areas of improvement should be? So that's the affinity diagram. Again, kind of basic idea, but the point, like a lot of the tools we talk about in this class, is to make this process explicit. Okay. To capture the information, get it on paper, make sure your team agrees on it all. Okay. Argue about these packs. Where should they go? Okay. Argue is maybe the wrong one. Debate about what the heading should be, what's most important. Okay. Tree diagram, okay? Don't confuse this with a function tree. It has a very different purpose, although it looks similar, okay? The purpose is to really show the paths and tasks necessary to accomplish the main goal, okay? And then, therefore, it's related sub-goals in order to get there, okay? To complete one of these, you want to first list the main goal, then break down, so, okay, well, what are the sub-goals, all the things I have to accomplish in order to do the main goal, and then replete that down. So it's similar to the function tree in that respect, that if I've done all these sub-goals, I will have accomplished the main goal. Right? This is for team organization and planning. The function tree is actually device-specific or design-specific. Okay? And you want to continue doing this until you get down to something you could assign to someone to do this afternoon. Someone could sit down and do that without any ambiguity. Okay. So if we have our overall goal of our example problem today is reduce data entry complexity, well, okay, what are we going to have to do in order to solve this general problem we have? Okay. Well, we figured out We need to improve training, improve hardware, create user-friendly software, or improve the paperwork processing. Okay. Well, if I'm going to look at, well, I need to improve our training, what are the things I need to do in order to actually improve our training? And you can think about that some. We might improve our orientation, or maybe have sales conferences annually that introduce the new software or whatever. Okay. And if I'm going to improve orientation, I need to think about, well, I need to determine the training topics, the schedule and orientation. Those are things I could sit down and do right now. I could sit down this afternoon and figure out what the training topics need to be. I could sit down this afternoon and determine the schedule of that orientation, that trial orientation. Okay. So by breaking this down, you're getting down assignable tasks that you know you can predict with some confidence how long they're going to take. Yes, sir. Bad formatting. Yeah. Yep. I appreciate the eye for detail. Nope. Trying to fit on the slide. So the key point here is you want to keep going, again, until what you can do down here is something you could sit down and do this afternoon. Right? So this probably, you know, rewrite menu system, that's probably not enough detail yet. Okay, I could start on that, but there's many, many steps I probably need to take in order to be able to rewrite that effectively. Right. So, again, much like most of the tools we've seen kind of on the slide so far this semester, this is probably less detailed than you would actually have on a real project or you should have in your projects. It's fitting in the slide. Okay. The purpose here, once we get down to, and why we want to get down to assignable tasks is that that is necessary for you to be able to have any kind of reasonable estimate of how long the whole project's going to take. Right? If I can't map out to this level of detail how long different subtasks are going to take, there's no way I'm going to be able to predict with any certainty how long the overall task is going to take. Okay? So by making this explicit, I can kind of look over there and start adding up time, and then I'll have some information about how long the full project's going to take. Okay. And if we're looking at scheduling then, so I have this full project, I can start mapping out the time frame that project's going to occur over using a Gantt chart. And basically it allows you to plan and schedule work on a project, but also track progress through the project. Okay. So I take those assignable task, right? I have those, right? I have that from my last tool. I can identify also what are the key dates, deadlines, milestones that I'm going to need to hit throughout this project. I can take each one of those deadlines and look at all the things I'm going to have to do to reach that deadline, and then I know how long I have to complete each step of the process. Okay. So I can work back in time from due dates, deadlines, and milestones for my project. Okay, we better be at this phase of the process by this date if we're going to be able to ship this thing in 1 month. Something like that. Okay. So that allows you to start planning and identifying when things need to get done. Okay. And again, you're not going to be able to do this with any certainty if you haven't gotten down to a task level description. Something you could sit down and do this afternoon. Finish this afternoon. Description of the task you need to accomplish. Okay. So we have that tree diagram. We could take all, if we've identified the task with sufficient granularity, on the right-hand side, we can take each one of those tasks, and that becomes all the tasks in that Gantt chart. Okay. We can start mapping those out. Okay. How long is this going to take? When does it have to occur in the timeline of the project? So here's a Gantt chart, an example for a proposal I had to fund our first entry into ARLIS. So if you look at this, these are not assignable tasks, right? Conceptual design, that's not really an assignable task. But let's look at it and give the kind of structure of what a Gantt chart looks like. I have identified some milestones out here. They were kind of, this is a one-year project, they're kind of at the end of the year. Okay. I can start from that project. ARLIS competition's in September. Okay, well that means that I better have prototype construction done by the end of August, which means I better have some concept prototyping beginning some months before that. So on this one, each one of these blocks is a month. So I can start mapping out from my kind of milestone or deadline, how long do I have to work on these various pieces of the puzzle. This version here is way too general. I want to stress that. And these are not assignable tasks. And this is to communicate the timeline of the project to an outside evaluator. When we sat down to actually do these things, each one of those became, here, you go do this afternoon. Okay. You can also map out, and the Gantt charts we'll see in this class don't have this, but just be aware of it, dependencies between different phases. And you kind of see that here, where I can't do prototype construction until I've prototyped different concepts and evaluated those subsystem problems. And I can't do that until I've done the conceptual design phase. And I can't do that until I've identified key requirements. Okay. So you can see relationships. You can also identify direct, you know, some overlap here, and that overlap in this particular project is kind of soft. The transition is fuzzy in some sense. You can also identify, there are ways within the kind of truly professional Gantt chart where you can identify true drivers and bottlenecks in your process. Nothing can continue until we do this. Right? And you want to look for those things and identify them. Okay. So here's a more detailed example. Again, just a year project. Okay. So this is getting closer, but I would say this is actually still too general. You see, in this case, I've highlighted stuff that is scheduled and completed, though. So that's the one change here. Okay. So this allows you to track progress through the project. Okay. And this is only a half year because the deadline got changed by 6 months, which was super annoying. Okay. Here's another example. This is actually a 5 year for another project I had. Right. Trying to map out over this 5 year time span what research we need to accomplish. And then therefore, why, if we accomplish that research, what funding we should get. Right? But even this is not what you would really use to manage this project. Just trying to show you what these look like overall. Right? These are not assignable tasks yet. Right? We get awarded this grant. Then we go in and start, well, what are the actual assignable tasks to each one of these things? Okay? Well, we are mapping out. You can see the progression. And this is a common progression you'll see in a Gantt chart. This kind of waterfall type structure, where the things at the top are the things I'm doing first. And then as time progresses, I'm coming down the chart and finishing things. And you see places where we're doing multiple activities at the same time, those kind of things. So this allows you to identify and plan your project. Okay. Again, to create that Gantt chart, you're really going to start asking the same questions we did for the tree diagram. And what's the main goal? Okay. What are the sub-goals needed to achieve that main goal? Sub-goals, et cetera. Okay? And then we have to get to task. And that's the key point to any of this project planning things. If you're trying to estimate time, estimate effort, estimate costs for your company, if you're not getting down to assignable tasks, you're not going to be able to do that with much confidence. And we make sure we include any milestones or deadlines. There are online tools to do Gantt charts and other project scheduling. You just Google Gantt chart, you're going to get tons of links that offer free templates and all that kind of stuff. Actually, some open source software as well. I mentioned before this Trello tool. While not explicitly a Gantt chart, is framing out some of the same concepts, getting down to task level management of a project. Okay. Questions about Gantt chart? Yes, sir.
Yep. And if you don't get to that point, could that be a problem in your process?
Yeah, so the question is, hey, I'm on the Gantt chart, I need to get down to assignable tasks. Right? If I'm not able to do that, what does that maybe indicate about my understanding of the problem or process? So, right, you're absolutely right. If I can't get down to an assignable task, then probably I don't understand that phase of the project quite well enough yet. And so those tasks, that doesn't necessarily stop you from proceeding, but recognize the Gantt chart, like all these tools, does get refined over time. Right? So, oh, we thought this was going to take 3 months. We actually got it done in 2. So that changed your schedule. That means this can bump up. So the tool is living and changing too. Right. So tasks that are a little bit vague, maybe at the beginning, that we're planning to do in 18 months, we don't know necessary task level description now, but you better get it together as you're approaching needing to work on that area, as your understanding improves. Yes, sir, who was it? They should be in some kind of order. So if you look at the ones, let's get one up you can read probably. So these are kind of by category, right? And then within each category, they are kind of chronological, right? So that's what gives you the order that you're kind of, as time progresses, it kind of goes down the chart.
So it'd be kind of like a calendar of events that you want to get done by a certain time?
Kind of, it works out that way, right? So what we're saying, the color blocks is, hey, I'm going to take these 3 months. We're going to be working on prototype construction. Okay. And again, you probably want more granularity than we're showing here. Right? So, and then we need to work on prototype construction for those 3 months because our deadline is here. Okay. And the way I would typically figure out the schedule is, okay, I have a deadline. Perhaps I have to meet some contest or some shipping date or something like that for my software. Okay, that's going to start. I need this amount of time to do this one, and you start backing up back to where you, okay, that's going to dictate throughout the whole process how much time you actually have to get things done. Other questions? Yes, sir?
Couldn't you almost have like sub-Gantt charts for like really big projects?
Yes. So the question was, would I have maybe a sub-Gantt chart for another project? Yes, you will. Right. So sub-teams, right? This, you know, these are kind of really high level. This is maybe what the project manager sells to the CEO to get the project funded. I don't know. And then in the team that's actually working on the prototype construction may be different than the team that's doing software development. They might each have their own piece, but they should all be aware of what's going on. So someone probably maintains a master Gantt chart, and each team has their subsection that they're focused on. Other questions? Okay. Example Gantt chart. Okay. Let's talk about the prioritization matrix. Okay. Basically allows you to prioritize objects, some grouping of objects, whether it be a task, maybe customer requirements, let's say. Okay. So allows you to focus where limited resources. So here's an example, a prioritization matrix. And these kind of 4 categories are really high level, but will help us understand how this type of matrix might work. Okay. So you have taste here is A, and then up at the top, A also represents taste. Right. Smell is B, there'll be a B, not poisonous. So we have these main criteria for a cup of coffee. Okay. So you take the first one, and then the first column is also taste. So you ask the question, come from smell over, is smell more important or less important than taste, which is A, the column we're in. Okay? And that's up to your team to debate and argue about. Okay, and make a decision as a team what goes there. Come down to the next one. Is my cup of coffee being non-poisonous more or less important than taste? And again, it's up to your team to argue among yourselves. Is it more or less important? And you continue down each column that way. So the next one over, we have at the top, is taste, which is row A, more or less important than the column I'm in, B, which in this case is smell. Okay. So it should be symmetric about that diagonal, right? You keep marching through the chart that way. Okay. And we have the X's there because that's just comparing the item against itself. Okay. So one check when you're filling this out is to do the entire table independently, and then it better be kind of a mirror copy, an inverse of itself, across the diagonal. Because you're comparing the same things, right? Okay, well, these two don't match. We better discuss those a little bit more, possibly. So you can start to look at this, and well, you think, well, maybe there's some way to get information about this, of which one of these is actually the most important criteria. So, of course, we can get some numbers. So for every plus, we're going to say is worth 5 points, and every minus we're going to say is worth 1/5 of a point. Okay. What we can do is sum across the row, every row, and divide it upon by the sum of the columns. Okay. And if you do that and do other math, what you get is kind of this percentage for each criteria that you're comparing. Right. So smell is kind of 38% of the importance of this list of categories we've looked at, right? And is the highest we've listed here. So that can start to inform, as these are customer requirements, want a cup of coffee, what you should direct your attention to during the design process. And again, this allows you to kind of formalize, house quality, you have importances, right? So this will allow you to formalize the comparison across those criteria. Questions about that one? Okay. Matrix diagram basically shows the relationship between two sets. So we talked about QFD or the house of quality. The problem understanding form is an example of a matrix diagram, right? You're looking at the relationship between customer requirements and engineer characteristics. Let's talk about another one I think is useful for you guys and useful in team projects. It's called the job responsibilities matrix. So let's look. For example, we're trying to interview and hire a new professor here. Okay? So we identify these are the key tasks we need to accomplish. And again, you probably should have more detail than these. Okay. And we're talking about, we have to arrange the travel for the candidate to come to give their lecture here and interview. We have to pick the date during that travel, what that travel is going to happen on. Right? We have to schedule their time here during the interview, right? Get them over to human resources to discuss benefits for the position, right? There's usually some kind of dinner when we have somebody on campus interviewing for a faculty job. We have to arrange and schedule that dinner, and then we have to follow up with the person and decide whether, let them know whether they're going to get the job or not. Okay, so high-level task of what has to happen. Across the top, we have maybe the boss, department head, Dr. Barhurst, maybe someone's organizing the interview. And then we have maybe a staff person that's handling some of the details. Ms. LaFleur in the office, for example. Okay. For each one of our tasks, we want to identify who has it as a primary responsibility, who might have it as a secondary responsibility, and who just needs to know whether it's happening or not, or know the details once it's settled. Yeah. So we can look at planning the travel for the candidate. Typically, the way we've done it, the organizer is trying to schedule things with some assistance from Ms. LaFleur in the office. Okay. And then our department head, Dr. Barhurst in this case, will just need to know when that date's going to be. They need to know, kind of keep them in the loop when things get settled. Right? And you can march through the entire matrix, every one of those tasks, that way. So picking the date, the boss has that as a secondary responsibility. It's important they're available, right? So they need to be involved in that process. You can march through the matrix this way. And identify for everyone on your task who has a primary responsibility. There can be multiple primaries. There can be multiple secondaries. Okay. There can be multiple needs to know. Okay. In the context of your team, this can do a few things for you. Right? You can look at this and see how work might be, make sure work is evenly distributed. You can make sure people are getting the work that's suited to what they're interested in, what their talents may be. You can use this as something like a contract among your team. Right? This is what we're going to do. Right? You're going to work on this part. You're primarily responsible for that. I'm primarily responsible for this other part. Okay? So this can serve as kind of a contract on who's going to do what and when it needs to get done. Along with it, if you're looking at this in the context, same task that is on your Gantt chart. Right? So it's an objective way try to get some unemotional conversation about making sure people are getting their work done. Okay. And possibly one that we want to look, if you are having trouble, maybe a place to look. Okay. We talked before about individual kind of group meetings. When you're working on a design process, a good thing to do is open up the house of quality. That first 5 minutes of the meeting, open up the house of quality. It'll frame the entire conversation. This is the problem we're trying to solve. The Gantt chart's another one that's good for that. House of Quality and Gantt chart, first 5 minutes of every meeting. I think it's a good way to go. Where are we at on the Gantt chart? Okay, these are the deadlines we have coming up. Check this. Okay, your schedule, your primary responsibility for our next major deadline, how's it going? Are we going to make it? For you guys, I have three tests this week, actually, or whatever. Can we divide that work a little bit differently moving forward? So this could update over time as well. Okay? And try to make it, again, an unemotional process in terms of assigning work and make sure everyone's contributing. Okay. So we've been hinting at it the whole time. Let's look how these might relate to House of Quality, for example. Right? We can use an infinity diagram, and we kind of have done this a little bit informally, some kind of basic brainstorming to figure out what my customer requirements are and trying to group them possibly among in the headings. Right? We can use that prioritization matrix to start filling out the importance column in that House of Quality. We can use an affinity diagram as well to figure out what are the customer requirements, the engineering characteristics, based on what we decided were our list of customer requirements. Okay. So each one of these tools is a kind of more formal intermediate step to start filling out the larger tool that conveys information to your audience or reader and organizes it for your team. Okay, so we just saw this. And then the main point we want to make is basically use these. These are going to help you out when you start developing your design tools. Okay? When you're managing the timeline of your project, it's about to get very busy in this class for all of us. Okay? The busier you are, the less time you have to get things done, the better you better be able to plan your time. If you're not busy, it doesn't matter. Right? Waste time. Right? I envy your life if that's the case. If you're busy, you better be able to accurately schedule your time, a lot of effort where it's most important, where it's most needed. Okay? These tools will help you do that. Okay? We want to push, and I think it's important, and these tools will help you do that as well, to try to focus and try to do the work that's important, not just the work that's the most urgent. Okay? So, again, these will help hopefully push you and your team in that direction. Questions? Okay, so it is, let's see what time it actually is, 4:07, 4:08. Well, so teams sign up to 4:30. I think for the next 20 minutes, what we'll do, divide into your Oilers teams, we'll bounce around freestyle, and then if the team sign up at 4:30, you can come see us up at the front. What team did you take today, 4:30? Team 1 is going to see Ms. Hodge at 4:30. And the team that was signed up for 4:30 today can just come see me up front. Right? For the next 20 minutes or so, we'll bounce around to any of the teams, okay, and talk with you then. Okay? So you have time available to work on your project. I think try to take advantage of it if you can.